amazing time, Lord, in the midst of hopelessness, where the world seems to be falling apart, that maybe there's fear and worry and depression and anxiety over the situation, that they would fall on their knees and surrender. So, Lord, we ask you to go before us in Jesus' name. Amen. This is crazy, is what I've heard lately from a lot of people when I talk. In fact, I say it myself. When will things get back to normal? I can't handle any more sport reruns. I'm tired of them. I miss fellowshipping with other believers. I can't pay my bills for some. My spouse and children are driving me crazy. I used to have more hair, and now much of it is gone. This building that we dedicated in January has been empty for 6 weeks. How do we respond in this situation that we're going through, not only as a believer in Mesquite, but around the world? And so last week, I wanted to kind of start from the beginning, and that was that first of all, as believers, we need to have a personal response, as it says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. And that is to have an answer for the hope that lies within us and ready to explain it. And it even talks about having a good conscience. And so the idea is, as believers, we need to have an answer because people are watching us. We're under the microscope. How are you going to respond in the face of this trial and circumstance as compared to your neighbor or someone that is watching you? People are watching us when the heat is applied, and how are we going to respond out of anger, out of love? Whatever the situation is, people are watching our response. And so we looked at our personal response last week, and then in response to the government. And we looked at Romans 13, and the idea is a clear conscience again. And God has put government in place for a purpose. And unless it's under a cross or going against God's rules and what he's lined up in the scriptures, we are to obey as best as we can, whether it's paying taxes, abiding by the rules they set forth. And so we kept that in our mindset. And thirdly, love your neighbor as yourself. We love ourselves. You love yourself. I love myself. We are in love with ourselves, especially in our selfie-driven culture. We have to let everyone know what's going on in our lives, what we look like, what we're doing. So Facebook is a great thing, and media and so forth, but it can also be used as a destructive tool. So we want to have a balanced attack in how we address and go through our lives in a godly way. And so we looked at those three areas. Now, that's us as believers. Now, how about the world? How are they responding to the situation? Well, we went all the way back to the book of beginnings, and that is Genesis chapter 1 through 3, and looked at the concept of creation. If you want to believe the Bible and what God's word says, you're more than welcome. God's given you free will and choice. You want to look at evolution? Then that's your free will, that's your choice to entertain and to study through and try to understand it all. You want to look at intelligent design, that God is watching us from a distance, that he doesn't care. He just has like a spinning top, is just letting it spin, and it's up to us to do our best to take care of it. And so we are to take care of the earth, and everything is a result of what we're doing, and we can do our best because we are good people, and we're going to take care of the world that God has given us. Depending in what category that you fall into will dictate your actions. You will respond to the way you worship in a practical way as obedience to whatever belief you want to believe. We looked at that. And the idea is looking at it through a worldview lens, or as I mentioned last week, a word view. Through God's word, we are looking at the history and where God has brought us today. And God, we looked in the garden last week that God created male and female in his image and in his likeness. He gave us free will, choice. He didn't create us as robots, but we have the ability to choose. We make decisions based on a source of information. That's why we have to be careful in what we read online, or if we hear rumors, and we have to have trusted sources. Well, we have a trusted source, and that is God's word, and we are basing our choices and our understanding according to God's word that is lined out throughout scriptures. But once again, you have that free will and choice. And so we look that God gave them free will, and to reveal God's love and to not create robots, there had to be free will and a choice. And he put a tree in the garden, and they chose, as we looked at that, Satan deceived, confused, caused chaos, and they partook of this fruit, and they were separated, spiritually dead. And then immediately after, we see the beginning of time, sin entering the world, but immediately after, the solution to the problem for their nakedness, their isolation, their shame, wasn't the leaves that they did on their own in trying to earn God's favor. It was an innocent animal that had to shed its blood to cover their sin. And as we celebrated 2 weeks ago, a picture here already in the first few chapters of the Bible of life is in the blood. And without the remission, there'd be no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. Had to get that out of there. And so we looked at that. So in other words, everything that we're looking at today, viruses were good when God created them. We're finding out now different reasons and so forth that it has to do with mankind messing with DNA or viruses, and now it's spread. Maybe it wasn't intentional, but the bottom line is it's a result of the fall of mankind. Water was a good thing, but because of sin, God had to use water to do what? Flood the earth and take care of sin. So as a result of mankind rejecting God and choosing to partake of something that they knew they weren't supposed to, the whole wet paint, I don't believe it's wet. I'm going to touch it because I don't believe it. And I want to be in authority. I want to rule my life. Don't tell me how to rule my life. God says, go ahead. However, there are consequences to your actions. And so here we are, if you believe God's word, and I take it literally, about 6,000 years roughly, we've moved along and we're seeing the results of mankind in a fallen world that has chosen to reject God and his word. And sadly, in our country, the most popular thing, which you won't find in many other countries, but it's getting, is this idea of follow your heart. Be different. Disregard traditional values in your parents. You'll be happy when you just follow your heart, and that's the best thing for you. It doesn't matter if it's the best thing for the community. It's about your own desires and judgments to make the world a better place, because you are ultimately good. And the Bible says, I'm sorry, the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who could know it? When we began in Judges in a few weeks, there's a verse that's continually spoken upon, and it's, they did whatever was right in their own eyes. Could that relate to today? Absolutely. You reject God, his words, you look at the results. The world is not getting better. The world is getting worse. The world will continue to get worse. It's not any surprise to the Lord, the Creator. It's exactly falling into the place of what he spoke throughout history and moving forward. Now, here we are today dealing with one of the results being the fall, which is ultimately the coronavirus. Now, I'll be honest with you. This is based on my own personal things that I've been going through for the last 6 weeks, talking with other people. It's, my life has been like this. I come to the church. I look out the window. I look on this building. It's empty. And I think, man, Lord, what are you doing? I don't understand. And so different side effects can happen. Things that we wrestle with. Are we alone? Are we the only ones to go through this? Is it okay to communicate with the Lord and have an honest dialogue with our Creator? Well, a couple things. Anxiety. I know a lot of people, anxiety, we don't like to hear that word. What does it actually mean? Well, if you look it up, a feeling of worry, nervousness, or unease, typically about an imminent event or something with an uncertain outcome. Can that apply? Absolutely. Nobody knows. How about the word fear? Oh, I'm not fearful. Well, let me read it to you. An unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that something or someone dangerous is likely to cause pain or a threat. How about other maybe feelings that you've been going through or in people that I talk to? Discouragement, anger, sadness, diminished joy, irritability, a change to your activity pattern. Oh, sign me up for that. Sleep difficulty. And how about this one? Weight gain, the COVID-19 pounds. We all are responding and going through different emotions as a result of the fall. But as believers, you may want to word it, because we don't even like the word depression. I don't like to say I'm depressed, and we don't like to use that word. Well, how about are you bummed out? How about I'm in a funk? I miss hanging out with other people and family. The word depression actually means to be pressed down, and think of it as a pillow. If you set a rock on a pillow, or even you lay your head on it every night and you sleep 7 or 8 hours, you wake up in the morning and guess what happens to that pillow? It slowly goes back to its size, hopefully, unless you buy a new one or you need one. If you lay on it for long periods of time and you don't get out of bed for maybe 2 or 3 days, what happens to that pillow? It stays depressed. There are all different types of depression. I'm not here this evening to work through each one. We've done that on our Thursday morning study, and we work with our Fresh Start group. But the idea is, each one of us maybe has gone through these feelings, are going through it, or maybe we will. Is it natural? There's many issues that can cause depression, whether it's physical, maybe your hormones, maybe it's medication, illness, a chronic illness, diet, personality, emotional, losing a job, being alone, abandonment, the loss of a loved one, a loss of personal goals, your health, marital problems, finances, a workload, troubled child, alcoholic relative or spouse. Spiritual can cause this. Maybe there's sin that's unconfessed. Wanting to be closer to the Lord. Addiction. The devil has a foothold in your life. As you can see, many different factors that we deal with before we came to Christ and even as followers of Christ. When, though, does it get to the point where our funk, our call it depression, whatever we're going through, when does it cross over into sin? 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10, hopefully it's going up right now, says, "For the kind of sorrow God wants us to experience leads us away from sin and results in salvation. There's no regret for that kind of sorrow, but worldly sorrow, which lacks repentance, results in spiritual death." When does it become a problem? What you're going through right now, is it okay? And when do I know, Travis, if it's crossed into the idea of sin? Well, the first thing of all, it becomes sin when we are depressed or we're in this funk over sin, but you make no attempt to change it. That is when it can cross in where it's sin. You're dealing with sin, you know it's convicted, God's dealing your heart, and you are not willing to address it or even to move away from it. Be mindful of that. Secondly, it becomes sin when you use it to manipulate other people. When you use sin to manipulate others, that has crossed the bounds. That's not what we're talking about here this evening. Thirdly, when you hold on to self-pity and anger, that is sin, when you've crossed that boundary and it's affecting you. And then finally, when you continually blame God and others for your unhappiness. That's not what we're talking about this evening. If you're dealing with those issues and God has shown you sin in your life and you can relate to anything, then you need to go before the Lord and ask God for his forgiveness and repent. Find somebody to hold you accountable. Call somebody up on the phone. This evening, my point as we move along is not to deal with these issues and stuff we're going through as emotions in the area that it's sin, but naturally what's going on in our day-to-day lives and how we're responding to them. So there's a difference as we move forward. Now, what I love about God's word, whether it's Abraham, Jonah, Joshua, basically all the characters, we see their humanity. We see how real and how transparent they are. Job chapter 10, verses 1 through 22. Job chapter 10, very familiar chapter in the Bible. It's a great chapter to teach the children. In fact, when I read it, you'll think, are you kidding me? I hope you're joking. I am joking with you. This chapter was written by Job, someone who had a relationship with the Lord. And what I want us to see is how real and transparent he was with his Lord. And God never condemned him. You find out, in fact, at the end of the book of Job, that he restores him. And the Lord understands. So let's read it. I'm going to read quickly through it. Read along with me. Open your Bibles or look, get it on your phone. I am disgusted with my life. Let me complain freely. This is Job making a plea towards God. My bitter soul must complain. I will say to God, don't simply condemn me. Tell me the charge you're bringing against me. What do you gain by oppressing me? Why do you reject me, the work of your own hands, while smiling on the schemes of the wicked? Are your eyes like those of a human? Do you see things only as a people see them? Is your lifetime only as long as ours? Is your life so short that you must quickly probe for my guilt and search for my sin? Although you know I am not guilty, no one can rescue me from your hands. You formed me with your hands. You made me, yet now you completely destroy me. Remember that you made me from dust. Will you turn me back to dust so soon? You guided my conception. Oh, there's a pro-life. And formed me in the womb. There's a verse if you want to tell your friends that God spoke that. You clothed me with skin and flesh. You knit my bones and sinews together. You gave me life and showed me your unfailing love. My life was preserved by your care. Yet, your real motive, your true intent was to watch me. And if I sinned, you would not forgive my guilt. If I'm guilty, too bad for me. And if I'm innocent, I can't hold my head high because I'm filled with shame and misery. And I hold my head high, you hunt me like a lion and display your awesome power against me. Again and again, you witness against me. You pour out your growing anger on me and bring fresh armies against me. Why then did you deliver me from my mother's womb? Why didn't you just let me die at birth? It would be as though I had never existed, going directly from the womb to the grave. I have only a few days left, so leave me alone, that I may have a moment of comfort before I leave, never to return. For the land of darkness and utter gloom, it is a land as dark as midnight, a land of gloom and confusion, where even the light is as dark as midnight. Isn't that an encouraging chapter of God's word? Isn't that something you just want to memorize and teach the Sunday school class? No. But what it does show us is God communicates. He hears our hearts. I don't have time to go and teach through the story of Job. But God, allow these things. Have you considered my servant Job? He had a relationship with the Creator God. He could freely speak to him, just like my son can do with me as your daughter. There was relationship. Even though what he's saying was totally off base, he didn't have any idea the circumstances that God was allowing him to be tested to go through these things. And he does a great job, and God rewards him at the end. But he is a God who communicates. He listens. Secondly, you're not alone if you feel this way. And God wants to hear from you. But here's the other side. You need to be ready to repent and change your mind and your way of thinking. And if you continue to read the story of Job, you go towards the end, God's going to say, who are you? You have no idea what you're talking about. But at the time, the emotions he was going through, losing his family, going through all these horrible circumstances, God allowed through his sovereignty this to happen. He's not alone. And thirdly, as we're in a situation right now, he had absolutely no control over the circumstances. God was allowing him to go through these circumstances and trials. God allows you to purify you as gold and allow you to go through circumstances that you don't understand. And I don't understand. He's allowing it. He's using you as a vessel, an opportunity. So when people see your life and they're watching, just like Job, that you're going to continue. You may not understand. You may have your only personal dialogue with the Lord and not completely understand it, but you know God still loves you, that he's graceful. You realize your life is temporary, that it's not simply about this temporary life and physical, but there's an eternal aspect to life, and God has put eternity in our hearts, and he's given us new life as believers, and he's got a plan and a purpose. And so for us, as I was studying, obviously, I hope none of you are gone at this point and you're saying these things to the Lord. If you are, I'd love to encourage you. But this is where Job was at. Job was honest with the Lord. He wasn't alone. You may feel beat down. You don't understand and you're going through these issues. It's okay. Once again, this is not what we're talking about as sin. This is something that's happening in day-to-day life. How do we respond? How do we deal with our mind, will, and emotions that we'll see here in a few moments? Now go to Psalm chapter 42, verses 4 and 5. Familiar text, we're not going to go through the whole thing, but I want to look at an example of these sons of Korah, and then we'll look at David as our last example this evening. The biggest thing that I've heard from many of us as believers, and even myself, is fellowship. I miss being around people in person. I know for some millennials, they probably like it because nothing's changed. They talk to people on their phone. They order at the restaurants from a thing. It's no big deal. Well, for certain generations, or if God has wired you, and I know he has, you want relationship, and you want that face-to-face contact. There's something more about being together and not doing a Zoom conference call. God has wired us to be relational with one another. Well, in Psalm chapter 42, the writers were longing. As the deer pants for the water, there was a desire, longing for the Lord. And it's a very familiar first few verses, day and night. But what I want to focus now is in verse 4 and 5 and pick out a few things that I think will help us when we're dealing with this situation. It says in verse 4, my heart is breaking. My heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. Here's someone that was fellowshipping, worshiping with the Lord, and now it's been removed, it has been taken away, and he's longing to go back to the time how it used to be. Notice, we're going to see very clearly, he was engaged. He would use our words today, he was plugged in with the fellowship. He wasn't just your Sunday morning Christian, which is great, and he comes to hear God's word, but he was engaged and active. He was using his gifts, his abilities to be a blessing to the Lord. And now it's come to the point that now the temple is no longer, there's no way to do this. He couldn't be with others. And so what is he longing for? To go back to those days. Many of us are struggling with this. I walked among the crowds of worshipers, leading a great procession to the house of God. Singing for what? Joy and giving thanks. You want God and you're getting a little stagnant in your walk? Sing for joy and eternal happiness, not just your temporary, what's going on right now, but then also to give thanks. The biggest cure for depression or what you're going through is to simply take your eyes off yourself and point it to the Lord and give thanks. You'd be amazed when you take your eyes off of the situation and put it upon Lord, which will ultimately direct you to other people. Singing for joy and giving thanks amid the sound of a great celebration. The sound, he's engaged all his senses with other people, worshiping God in this house of worship. And at this time, they would go to certain places to worship, but we know today that's in our hearts, but we still desire fellowship. We still love being amongst one another. verse 5, here's the question. He's shared all the good things. He's remembering back. I mean, guess what? He's bummed out. He's depressed. He's discouraged. Whatever word you want to use or whatever you're going through, guess what? This author knows exactly where you're at and how you feel. Verse 5, why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? Here's the answer. Here's the answer for you and for me. I will put my hope in God. Now, I want to go back again to the idea of making choices. God has created us, and hopefully we're going to get a slide up that'll say mind, emotions, and will. And on the other side, it's going to say mind, will, and emotions. When we are born with the order of mind, emotions, will. What does that mean? Well, because when we process information, as we interact with the world and so forth, we base our choices on the way we feel and what feels best for our flesh. And so our whole lives before Christ comes, it's all about me and fulfilling my needs, my desires, and wants. And whatever makes me feel good will dictate and help me choose the direction that I will go. And so if we've been doing this for many years, and then you apply it to whatever addictions and vices or whatever, this all plays into it. And this is stuff I know I don't have the time this evening to work through it, but this is stuff we've looked at on our weekly studies and meeting together to help those that are going through these issues to understand who we are. Why do I struggle with sin? Why can I relate to Paul in Romans chapter 7? Well, it's because you've been brought up all these years with your thinker, your chooser, and your feeler in the wrong order. So everything in our lives and everyone in the world that doesn't have a relationship with Christ, and even as believers, when we call carnal Christianity, when I act out of the flesh, I'm getting it backwards. So we respond and process with our mind. Our emotions dictate our will and our choices, but that's not the way. When we become believers, and now God gets a hold of our hearts, the proper way it should be is that we process things in our mind, our thinker, and then we choose according to God's Spirit. Now, as Spirit-filled believers, we have the ability to process things and to choose according to God's Word and walking in the Spirit and not walking in the flesh. This is a thing that we go over with our new believers class and so forth to get this idea to understand who you are. We all are made up of body, soul, and spirit. Our spirit is our communication with God, but that's severed because of the fall. But now we all have body and soul, our earth suit, and then our soul of everything that makes us up of who we are. And within that, mind, will, and emotions is the proper way. And so that's why Jesus, thinking about the cross, the pain, the weight that he was going to carry in the garden, he says in Luke chapter 22, 42, not my will, but your will be done. When faced with emotions, faced with choices that appeal to your flesh, we need to do what? Process it through the mind of the Lord and ultimately the Holy Spirit now. And so now we walk according to the Spirit rather than walking according to our flesh. And so as a Spirit-filled believer, I'd love to tell you that's how I walk every day of my life. Ask my wife and my children, and they'll say, no, he doesn't. There's a war going on, like in Romans chapter 7, so Paul can say the things that I don't want to do, I struggle with. He's not writing as a non-believer. He's writing as a believer. He's writing just like Job and as we see David that are going through real struggles and so forth. Yeah, it could be sin, but it could just be day-to-day life. Things are not going your way. So mind, will, and emotions is the proper order, but that can only happen by being born again and be regenerated by the work of God's Spirit, as we see in John chapter 3. So I hope everyone gets that. As we get back to the studies, we can go over that study and certain things, but this is a quick overview. If you get that and you understand thinker, chooser, and feeler based in the correct order according to God's Spirit, you will start to perceive and walk your life according to the will of God, which will dictate the way you respond. Most of us, even as believers, we're doing it backwards, and we base all of our choices and decisions according to what feels good with us or our emotions. That's not the way we are to respond. Why am I so discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? Look what he tells himself. He's having a dialogue with himself. Some of us at the church talk to ourselves. I'm included. My wife says I do. It's okay to talk to yourself. It's healthy to talk to yourself, even though people might think you're a little crazy. But to have a dialogue and say, Lord, why am I so discouraged? Why am I so downcast, oh my soul? And look what he says. He knows the answer. We know the answer. You know the answer. God's Spirit, if you're a believer, guess what? You don't have to come see Pastor Rick. You don't have to come see me. You don't have to read any more books. The bottom line is you know what you should do. The Holy Spirit's convicting. You just simply need to make a choice, and that is the hard part. Because for so long, we've chosen the opposite. But to choose God's will in his life is not comfortable, and it doesn't appeal to my flesh, and it's not as satisfying. Well, God gives you a new heart, and you have the ability to overcome and have victory in the Lord. So you tell yourself, I will put my hope in God. I will praise him. Look what it says, again. What does that tell us? There was a time where he wasn't praising the Lord. He was going through a valley. He was going through a difficult time. He needed to tell himself to praise the Lord. He recognized, look what it says, my Savior and my God. It's a personal relationship. He needs a Savior. It's personal. He was deeply discouraged, as it says. I am deeply discouraged, but look what it says. But I will make an active choice of my mind, will, and emotions to remember you and your goodness, because everything in my life, as I look around, is saying, don't do it. God's left you. He doesn't care about you anymore. You've gone so far, Travis, in sin that you're irredeemable. Don't listen to those lies that you're telling yourself or the enemy is throwing darts at you. Put the mindset that I am forgiven for what I've done in the past. It's been wiped away. And so now the Lord only sees the blood of Jesus, and I am going to walk accordingly. And we're going to look at that in a few weeks, I believe, in our identity in Christ, in our intimacy, our destination, our citizenship, how that all works as believers that we really need to grasp. And so, which many of you guys will like, even from distant Mount Hermon, the source of the Jordan, from the land of Mount Mizar, he wasn't near Mount Zion. He was in the north, which we called Bashan, in a place of darkness and whatever, physically and even emotionally. He was in a place and he longed to go back and worship the Lord the way he was before. Maybe you're feeling that way this evening. Maybe with all that's going on in your life, you feel the way. Well, guess what? I don't have the answer for you, but I can point you to the answer, and that's God's word. If you've never placed your hope or trust, well then, like as I said before, you don't need to go find a pastor or call me. You just get on your knees and surrender your life. If you're like me, and you're struggling and it's everything around seems chaotic, go to the Lord, repent if you need to, and put your trust back where it needs to be. You've been distracted. So that's an encouragement. Now let's flip to David. Psalm 34, if you are following along with your Bible, it's a couple pages over. Psalm 34, we're going to look at 6 verses and then we'll wrap it up this evening because this is a lot of stuff to chew on. We just looked at Job in his personal relationship with the Lord and how he struggled. We're not alone if whatever you're going through. We're not talking about crossing over to sin. If there's sin, you need to confess it. But we're just talking about day-to-day, regular life, that we're in a funk, we're bummed out. Things are not going the way they normally do. And it's been about 6 weeks now, and it's affecting all of us. It's affecting me for sure. So we're looking, how do we encourage ourselves? Well, the sons of Korah that we just read, they were having the same thing. They longed to be together with other believers and so forth, and they had to tell themselves, put your hope in God, to remember. Now let's look at David at a time where he pretended to be crazy to to escape King Achish. His life was endangered, and it caused thoughts of eternal and physical issues. Now, your life, I don't know if it's in danger. Maybe you're going through sickness. Maybe you're worried that you'll catch this disease and it will affect your life. I think what I know very clearly from God's word, what I love about it is you can apply it to your life. Now, we're not talking about taking it out of context, but just to be encouraged from God's word that you're not alone. There's other people, and now we get to see their flaws. The Bible never tries to cover up and make David look like the greatest guy, or King Solomon, or even the disciples. They were just like you and me. They wanted to be God, and God needed to humble them, and that's what God looks for in people. And so for the Bible to say David was a man after my own heart, what are you talking about? Well, because David learned how to repent and to change directions and mindset from his flesh and the way he was going and face it to the Lord. We need to do that, once again, mind, will, and emotions for us here in 2020. So it says this, I will praise the Lord sometimes. When the car is broke down, when the car is running well, and there's food on the table, no, I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praises. Notice there's a speaking, verbalizing. It's healthy to find people. Not only talk to yourself, which I don't encourage in front of other people. You can do it with your quiet time with the Lord. But other people to gather. Not talking about a Sunday morning where there's so many people. But to have a small group or a fellowship or other brothers and sisters. And to verbalize and to communicate what God's doing in your heart or what you're struggling with. That's why the men's fellowship on Saturdays or Thursday mornings. I'm praying that through this, our church will be bursting at the seams with people that realize they're sick and they need to go to a hospital and go around other sick people like me and Pastor Rick and the other leaders and say, I need fellowship. God's got my attention. That's our prayer for I know churches around the world that God's going to shake up people's lives and get their attention to focus upon the eternal and not the physical. I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praises. I will boast only in the Lord. You want to boast? Hey, you're okay to boast, but only boast in the Lord, not in how gifted you are, how good looking you are, how wealthy you are, how you got the job. No, you're allowed to boast, but boast only in Jehovah. Let all who are helpless take heart. Have you been helpless? Guess what? This author knows what you're going through. Have you felt helpless? Seem out of control in your life. Helpless. Take heart. Verse 3. Come, let us tell of the Lord's greatness. Let us exalt his name together. So what we're experiencing, and yes, we understand that we're not the church, it's not about this building, but what we're going through, when it's removed and we miss it, guess what? We're not the only ones that miss that kind of fellowship. This author, the previous author, they miss being with other people to proclaim God's glory together, where two or more are gathered. God didn't create us to simply be alone. God created us to be relational, to worship him as it talks about in a revelation of every tribe and tongue. And we enjoy it. Yeah, we get on each other's nerves. None of us are perfect like our pastor, but we enjoy being together and worshiping the Lord and singing praise and be led by others that are gifted in the children's ministry or whatever it is. It's a beautiful thing to gather. Come, let us tell of the Lord's greatness. Let us exalt his name together. How often do you tell people about the Lord's greatness? It's easy when things are going well, but how about right now in the midst of trials and circumstances? Are you still praising the Lord and telling people, not with a fake spirit, say, yeah, I don't understand it, I'm frustrated, but you know what? My hope is still in his greatness, and he's going to come through. It's no accident. He's not in heaven saying, oh my goodness, this corona, every other disease was under control except for the coronavirus. And if the president of the U.S. and nobody else can handle it, I don't know what else to do. That's not. Let's tell of his greatness. Verse 4, Notice this, and this is so key to your relationship, and if you're struggling right now, I prayed to the Lord. You gotta have personal prayer time. I don't like to pray. I don't know how to pray. Prayer is simply communicating. Do you call your mom? Do you call your dad? Do you talk to your cousin or your brother? That's exactly what prayer is. A relational dialogue and sharing with someone that you love, that is near and dear to your heart, that wants your fellowship, that wants your time, that wants you to turn off the TV, to get off Facebook, and to put aside all the distractions, and just to spend some few minutes with him. This author prayed to the Lord, and look what it says, he answered me. The Lord's going to answer. It may not be in your time, and it may not be the answer that you're looking for. Sometimes he answers it, and he allows, okay, you want to go that direction, then you're miserable. Why would you let me have that? Well, I answered it. But it's maybe not the way you think it should be or I should think it be. He freed me from all my, what does it say? Fears. We looked at that at the beginning, the meaning of fear. An unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous, likely to cause pain or a threat. This author, David, was fearful. So if you're going through fear, you're not alone. But you need to be encouraged. You need to put your direction in the correct focus. I prayed to the Lord and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. Two more verses and then we'll close in prayer. Verse 5, those who look to him for help, look what it says, will be radiant with joy. Radiant with joy. Radiant, sending out light, shining or glowing brightly. That's a hard one because many times I know believers that are miserable, they're bitter, and I find myself being miserable, bad attitude, and bitter, and I say, Travis, you're not very radiant with joy right now. And a lot of times it's based on what's going on in our emotions, we're grumpy in the morning, or somebody talked to me, or things didn't go my way. Well, those who look to him for help will be radiant with joy. When you become a believer, God gives you joy, and you understand that life no longer is a temporary, that there is this eternal happiness. It's not based on your circumstances. There is joy. But you still go through times where you're not happy. And God gives you this brightness in your heart and your light. And if you're walking according to God's Spirit, that light is going to shine forth. And if you're not and you're having a bad day, guess what? Go and ask for forgiveness. Apologize to the person. Don't act like you're perfect or you don't make mistakes. Say, I was in a bad mood and I'm not representing the Lord. I'm going through difficult times. Will you pray for me? That's what people are looking for, is a realness and transparency in Christians, and they're not getting it from our lives. That has to change as the church here in 2020. Those who look to him for help will be radiant with joy. No shadow of shame will darken their face. That's so bright, there is no shadow of shame because they're glowing because of what the Lord has given. They're forgiven, their relationship. They're forgiven in the past, the future. God no longer looks at them as Travis. He sees the blood of Christ. And Travis, God gives him this heart and desire to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. And finally, verse 6. Have you ever been desperate? In my desperation, notice again, I prayed and the Lord listened. We get the idea, as we hear a lot of times, that God's up there with a lightning bolt and so forth, only on believers and non-believers. And I'm telling you, God is a God of love. It's who he is and his essence and is who he's made up of. If our desire is just to, on the outward, show love, we need to get love implanted in our hearts, and it's a byproduct from a relationship with the Lord. If we're trying in our heart to love people, to impress other people, it's not going to last. You're going to get burnt out. But when you have this understanding of who Jesus and washing the feet and this whole concept of love, because he is love, it's going to naturally impact you, and you're going to see that the Lord listens. He loves me. And even when I'm having a bad day, even when I'm saying I shouldn't have even been born like Job, he's still listening, and he loves me as a father to a son or daughter. He loves you. And whatever you're going through right now in your life, he's calling out to you. Sit down and start communicating with him. In my desperation, I prayed, and the Lord listened. He saved me from what? From all my troubles. He's being chased all around this context. And I'm not saying this evening, Travis, oh, that was an amazing sermon. Oh, you did such a good job. And that doesn't mean your troubles are all going to be gone. They're going to get harder, maybe. But once again, if you understand things from God's perspective, that you have a relationship with him, and you're going to walk according to the Spirit and not base your decisions on your flesh, you're going to be satisfied, and you're going to understand life through God's perspective and walking and navigating here on earth. And so you're not going to allow it to get to you the way it used to. And God's going to begin to change you. It doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. For some of us, it takes a lot of time. For some of us, we can learn God's principles and understand it quicker than others. It's okay. We're all at a different pace. Baby steps. In my desperation, I prayed, and the Lord listened. He saved me from all my troubles. Job and David and so many other scriptures and stories throughout God's word show of emotions that they went through, disruptions in your life. What we're going through is a disruption in our life. But they had a God that they could cry out to and be honest and transparent, without wax, sincere. And not only could they cry out, but he would listen to them. They weren't alone. You're not alone. And if you're a believer this evening, you have the Holy Spirit. Start listening and walking to the Spirit and not grieving the Spirit. You don't need any more books or reading anything else. Read God's word and now make choices based on God's Spirit and not what you've been doing for 20, 30, 40 years of your life. People are watching our lives. And the last verse this evening, highlight this, Romans 15, verse 13. What a beautiful verse to wrap up this evening and what we're going through and looking for hope in this time that we're going through. It says this, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Old Testament characters that were writing, they didn't have the Holy Spirit living in them. It would come upon them and then it would leave. We now, because of the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit is available to all and you receive Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit lives in your life and now you're walking. Your conscience now, your mind, your will, and emotions are lined up correctly according to God and his Spirit. And you're going to go through difficult times. Things are not going to get easier in your life, but now you're going to respond in a way that brings glory and honor to him. You'll live life through God's perspective, his purpose, and he wants to restore your broken heart. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this evening. Lord, I pray with all this information, Lord, that it would process correctly for the believers that are watching, and maybe there are those that are tuning in that have never experienced your love, your grace, your kindness, forgiveness, and they're searching for hope. They're hopeless. Lord, I pray that they would get on their knees right now and simply surrender and confess you are Lord, that they would seek out a church in their community and have a desire to grow and to study God's word, and may you do a mighty work in their lives as you become a father to them. We thank you, Lord, that we can read the Bible and make it come alive the same way it was to the authors. So we put ourselves in their shoes and we cry out to you when we go through these difficult times that we don't understand in the world, in our lives, this sickness, this disease, addictions, whatever they may be, we want to see life through the Word of God. That is our prayer. That is our desire this evening. Continue to fill us with your Spirit. Continue to teach us through the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. God